All right, everybody, welcome to Sparkle On with Davey Jags. Sparkle is your happiness, passion, and self-worth. This is a platform for the world's most divine storytellers, entrepreneurs, athletes, and more. So today, I'm so excited to have Tay Hall, a dear friend of mine. She is a fitness instructor, certified personal trainer, and founder of Girly Pops Fitness. So we met when I attended one of her amazing events at the top of Noia House here in Hollywood.
That was literally like the best day of my life.
Really?
Only because we met.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
I'm so honored. So Tay, you've also been a lifelong athlete. Can you tell us about how you started out as an athlete and what initially led you to play basketball?
So I just was put into sports, I feel like, out of the womb. I've always been an athlete, but I started off swimming. Actually, I competitively swam for 13 years.
Wow.
Which was crazy because I would have never thought I would play a sport with a ball. My eye-hand coordination is absolutely terrible. And the only reason I was ever good at basketball is just because as soon as I touched a ball at the age of 14, I like fell in love. And so it was my goal to play college ever since I started playing. I started playing from like a later age. You know, most girls are starting when they're 5 or 6. But I just loved it. And I just like could not set the ball down. So any other sport besides basketball, like that has to do with a ball or an extension of my hand, like don't ask me to do it. But basketball was like my first love, I would say.
Yeah. And you really, with your Girly Pops Fitness community, you focus so much on building that woman empowerment through mm-hmm. connection and community, which is why I was so drawn to this event. But can you talk about why you feel it's important to be involved on a team, especially from a young age?
Yeah, I mean, I think it teaches you a lot about whenever you're going with a team and not just like an individual sport such as swim, which I played for a long time. You have other people relying on you too. So you don't just have to show up for yourself, but you have to show up for others. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like when you're part of a team and you're going through shared suffering or things that are really, really hard, you're that much more bonded with that individual. Like I don't know anybody on a closer level than I know some of my best friends and my sisters who I went through some hard stuff together. So that's what I try to implement into Girly Pops Fitness is just like, I know from being an athlete and being on a team, when these girls are going through hard crap together, like you can be bonded in life, and maybe you're not an athlete, you're not playing basketball, but these girls are now part of a team, and that's so much bigger than yourself, so you have a bigger purpose in life, and maybe these girls can bond in friends just like you and I met, or in business maybe they can become business partners, and then we can just flourish through that way. So that's what I like to bring from my basketball background into the Girly Pops.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't know, these workout classes that Tay does here in LA, they're women only.
Yeah.
And so why do you think like entering a space of fitness is intimidating for women when men are also in the room?
At first, I didn't know. I was like, what? This is ridiculous. Just because I've been in a gym my entire life and I've just been around athletes, whether it's girls or males. And but I think something that's just really intimidating is guys are in the gym and they're picking up these super heavy weights, and for women that's never been like a thing, really. You know, it's like it's very much like get on the cardio equipment, like weights are for the guys, it's scary, I don't know what's gonna happen, I might get hurt. And like when guys are picking up these huge weights and just grunting and they're taking up so much space in front of the weight racks, my biggest pet peeve, by the way, and it can be intimidating, and it looks like guys know what they're doing, even though a lot of the time they really have no idea, and they should not be lifting that much weight, you know? And yeah, it's hurting more than it is helping, not engaging the right muscle groups, so on and so forth. But it is intimidating as a woman just entering into a gym, and it's a very male-dominated space. And so when I started the Girly Pops Fitness, I had a lot of my girlfriends come up to me, and I was working at Equinox, and they wanted to train with me. They're like, Tay, number one, we cannot afford Equinox. Number two, I hate going to the gym because I don't know what to do. There's all of this equipment in there. I've never used it before. There's a bunch of guys. And another thing too with girls in the gym is guys are like, it seems as if guys are looking at girls as objects maybe, you know, like, or girls are getting judged if they don't know what to do. So that's how women feel a lot of times entering into the gym. And I totally understand that. So I was like, okay, let me just start a group where we can just do something just as girls. It's safe, it's comfortable, no equipment, baby, like literally none. We're just gonna go into the park. We're gonna use some glute bands, whatever. You can get some great work in if you have your mind muscle connection to the right area. Like I can literally make this feel hard, you know what I mean? If I'm like tensing up my muscle. So really, really important just in training, mind muscle connection, you know, being an athlete. But so I just thought it was important to start something outside of the gym. Outside, it's Southern California. Like we have beautiful weather all the time. So that's really where it all started, just in the park in the La Brea tar pits. And then it's grown ever since.
And I want to go back a little bit more into your athletic background. And so I know that you have suffered from two ACL tears. Mm-hmm. And I was a student athlete myself, and I know what injuries did to my mental health. And I was wondering if you could speak to those two individual injuries and how either they hurt your athletic career or helped shape what you're doing now.
So I think that it definitely hurt my athletic career in a couple different ways, but I'm so thankful now that I went through that injury because that's what got me into fitness. Like I hated the gym before. Mm-hmm. I would lift weights, but like there was no purpose. I would just go in there. I'm like, yeah, this is easy, whatever. But after I tore my ACL, I had to go through all this rehab where we were in the gym, we were weightlifting, we were doing a bunch of plyometrics, like all this different stuff I had never really focused on before. And I saw my leg, like it was so atrophied, you know, our muscles atrophy so quickly. And it was crazy to see I had no muscle in my leg all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. I had to do all this strengthening and rehab. And I fell in love with that rehab process. It was so amazing. I never thought I could become a better athlete. But then after my first tear, I was like, wow, I'm jumping higher, I'm running faster, like after this injury, which usually sets you back in your career, right? So I was able to become a better athlete, really fell in love with the process. And so that, I think, led me into deciding what do I like to do outside of the sport of basketball, because it was taken away from me, like in an instant, you know? And I didn't have an identity outside of basketball. It was just only basketball. So going through my first ACL tear, came back, I was like excited to be going to play again. Boom, happened a second time, Davey, And I was like, well, God's telling me something, like maybe basketball isn't my thing. Maybe he's telling me to take a step back. Maybe he's telling me to slow down. Like I have to really figure out like, why am I having to go through this two times in a row within the span of 12 months? So that's, again, when I, like, really dug deep and I fell in love with the fitness journey and I was, like, studying the body more, like, looking more into the kines aspect of it and just why the body works this way and, like, how I can function and just be a better human and not only just physically but, like, mentally and emotionally. I went through some shit. Like, I was like, why me, poor me, blah, 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 all this stuff. But I became mentally so much stronger because I think this is something that not a lot of people have to go through, a back-to-back injury.
Right.
Right. So I was able to really overcome that. And if I can do this, I can do anything. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's what helped me just build that confidence and uncomfortability in the gym and bring it into life as well. In my basketball career, what happened for me was I did a little downhill spiral because not from the injury necessarily, but when stuff is out of my control, I like to be in control.
Yeah.
So I was not in control of my body. Like I had this injury, right? And I couldn't control basketball. That was taken away from me. So I tried to control other aspects, like how much I could work out. So instead of it becoming like a well-balanced approach to fitness, I really started off in my ACL journey. It's like too much, overloading too much. And so then I had like little tiny injuries along the way. Some patella tendonitis because I was doing too much, you know. Mm-hmm. Also, then I decided to start trying to control my food because that's what I can control at that time. Eating too healthy, too much, or not enough. So that really made me fall into a hole of body dysmorphia, eating disorder. So I was so weak when I was coming back from my second ACL. I was stronger, you know, physically. But then after I started to control this for a long period of time, and it just took a downward spiral into my athletic career because I was taking my rehab into like overtraining after I got better. So I was doing running extra sprints and I was not eating enough when I was better, all this stuff. So that's when my basketball career kind of like made a downhill spiral. And I would say what helped me kind of come out of that is when I came back home and I was training at the same place that I did my rehab for basketball. And everyone was telling, like, I went home and my dad was like, Taylor, you look like you're from Auschwitz right now. Like, you literally just look so emaciated, just not healthy at all. And I just took that to heart and I was like, are you serious? Like, that's just ridiculous. Everyone else is telling me I look good. I started posting on social media. I had like visible abs that I had never had before, all this stuff. And everyone kept telling me that was close to me, that I looked bad. I wouldn't listen. I was in denial, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I went back to my rehab facility and Jackie was her name. Jackie and Chad were like my second parents basically at the time. So she calls me into her office after I finished doing a training session. She's like, Tay, you look like shit. You look like shit.
So she was really blunt with you.
She was just blunt. And yeah. Like, you know, like it's like when your mom tells you something to do or your family, like yeah. You don't really listen as much. But she was like, you look like shit. And that hit me. So I was like, yeah. Oh, shoot, I need to change something. Yeah. She's like, you're not allowed to do cardio. You're not allowed to do like whatever, because I was just overdoing it. Mm-hmm. So anyways, it was like a process. It's been a process. I would say the last year is when I really came out of like my mental state of just abuse through exercise and through eating. And I found like a much better balanced approach, which I try to preach to myself on a daily, because it's a constant work in progress, but also to my clients, because I don't want them to go through that stuff where like honestly you're on the level of like maybe almost death, you know, like you're just not a human anymore at that point. Yeah, right? Is where I kind of got to. So that was a long-ended response, but that's what had happened.
Did you know that you were doing these harmful eating habits, or was this something that you weren't really aware of because you were just trying to keep discipline?
You know, it's like you're conscious, like you're aware of it.
Yeah.
But like at the same time, it's like you keep telling yourself like it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I was kind of aware, like, I was like, yeah, I'm eating a lot of rice cakes. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling my body enough. I have enough energy. But like, do I really? Or do I like the feeling of just like being in control and I'm eating just enough that I can survive? I don't know how. I do not know how I was working out at the intensity that I was at the collegiate level for 6 hours a day. And yeah. Like surviving on rice cakes and protein bars, like in like 1,000 calories. I don't know how I was doing that. The body's amazing.
Oh, I mean, I know it's not sustainable for sure.
No, it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
No.
I know exactly what you mean, because it's like, I resonate with, at least whether it's through the injury or not, like the experience of losing your body at its peak and yeah. its strongest. Right. And I think as women, like we don't talk about how visceral that experience is, mm-hmm. especially when you're like growing up like out of your teen years, but you're still like so young and in college and like
yeah.
trying to explore. And then when you have this loss, whether it's through an injury, for me it was injury, it was sexual violence, and it was things like out of my control, that's when I turned to, okay, the one thing I can control is my food intake, but mm-hmm. I can also control making myself sick. But I got it under control because I knew how many times to make myself sick
yeah.
in order to still be able to run 8 miles or 13 miles on Sunday morning.
Right. Yeah.
Right. But that's not normal, and it should never be normal.
But why, Davey, is it so normal at the same time? Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
so you, so you many totally people... read my mind of like what my next question was. Like, why as women do we do this?
Women, we like to overthink, overanalyze, and like we like to be in control.
Yeah.
Like we just like to be in control. And it is just so sad, but I think that a lot of girls, we get stuck in our headspace. Like, this is just me going through this, like this is my issue, my struggle. Like I dug myself in this hole. Let me dig myself out. When really we can start to rely on a team. We can start to rely on other girls around us if we just open our mouth and just be vulnerable. And it helps so much. Like, I don't know about you, but for me, it really, really helped when I just started to open up. And I posted on Instagram. I was like, look, I'm making a change. Cause then I can't let down however many people, even if it's like 5 people that saw the post. I can't let myself let other people down. Like I can't let myself down. When I set my mind to something, like I will achieve any goal that I set my mind to, or anything that I want to prove myself to others, even though it probably no one cares. but like I care. So when I started to like put that out there on Instagram and I was like, hey, look, like I let myself fall into a dark hole. I'm aware of that. And today's day one, I'm going to make a change. It's not going to be a straight upward hill of like, yeah, I'm going to make this shit happen right away. And a lot of people think that like, it's like so easy. Why don't you just eat? Like, why don't you just switch your mindset? Like, why don't you just stop? Where it's like so hard. Cause also, right, I love fitness. And I also feel like it's an addiction thing too, right? Like,
yeah,
working out is my drug.
Yeah.
Or like it was essentially something that I felt like I got like a high from, you know what I mean? And so I would always do that because I'm like, oh, I feel good. And then I feel like I look good, but then I like don't. I don't even know how to describe.
Right.
Because when I look in the mirror, I'm like, dang, like I don't not look good. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, I look good.
I think it's
about learning how to be confident no matter what you look like that day, and that confidence isn't actually from how you look. It's about how you love one another. It's about how good of a friend you are. It's about, you know, making sure that you are telling yourself that your worth is not tied to your exterior. And I'm kind of curious to know how you made that switch from essentially not being healthy to committing yourself to a journey that doesn't just flip a switch.
Yeah.
And it was that initial when I talked to Jackie from Move. Shout out to Jackie and Chad from Move Human Performance Center in Arizona. It was that just like that was the first switch.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was just like me telling myself every day, you are strong, you are confident, you are beautiful. Which I thought that was BS at first. I was like, these manifestation things, like that's so dumb. But I kept telling myself that.
Yeah.
And even when I didn't feel that way, I would look myself in the mirror and repeat that 3 times. And over the course of like a year, I really felt that way. And I started to make little changes, and I tried not to beat myself up. Like if I did a little relapse, it's okay. Tomorrow's a new day. A new day. And I've been really thankful to have a lot of mentors in my life, like just from a young age, like in my mind being kind of words of affirmation, like 1% better every day, or, you know, a setback is a major thing for a setup in your life, being comfortable, being uncomfortable. So I just strived to get out of my comfort zone every single day, like in the gym and eating. Like it was really hard for me to like eat something that wasn't scheduled. It was really hard for me to sleep in when I felt like I needed to wake up early to get an extra workout in. It was really hard for me to do those things, but I had to just continuously remind myself. Does that answer your question? Like it was just a continuous journey. I don't think there was one, like that was that first switch, but there wasn't one day where I was like, oh, I'm better. Like I'm feeling awesome and balanced. And it's not like there's times that like, I still don't think about, oh, like, man, if I do this, like I gotta be like, no, Taylor, shut up. Just like you're enjoying your life. You're doing amazing. You look good. Like whatever.
I mean, I guess like, how do you practice remaining that like commitment to yourself?
I think honestly, my girly pops now.
That's great.
Because I don't want them to look at me and be like, she's unhealthy and she, like, why would I follow somebody? I want to be somebody that people look up to and like, damn, she carries herself with confidence, with she's collected, she's strong, she is all the things that she says she is and more. Like, I just want people to like, look at me and my energy and be like, dang, how does she get that energy? Or how does she get that light? You know? So I don't want to let other people down. I guess going back to that, I want to hold myself to a high standard.
Yeah. I recently started just like, cause I'm training for a marathon. So
you're crazy.
Thanks. I know. And I don't know if I'll ever run this kind of mileage again, but I do think the words that we say to ourselves matters. And I do think our body also talks to us, right? So like when there's certain strain, like it'll tell you before it's going to get injured. And whether we choose to listen to our bodies or not, that's a whole nother story.
Girl, I'm still going through that.
Yeah. And it's not easy. And I don't know why it is so hard to listen to our bodies, but it's probably also because at least I was never taught. And even if I was told to listen to my body, it's like sports creates such a culture where if you do listen to your body, then you're weak.
Right.
But if you don't listen to your body, you're crazy and you know, you're inflicting self-harm regardless. It's your fault. Either way, it's like a lose-lose situation.
Correct.
Uh-huh. And it's your fault. And I think now more than ever, like, I do care about my health and well-being, but like I also care about getting out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And what I've noticed on these runs has been kind of like magic. It's been like when I feel a certain strain in my knees or whatever, it's not that I'm not straining myself, but sometimes it's just being able to say, I'm strong, I'm beautiful, I'm a sparkle queen. And all of a sudden the pain like actually dissipates because our bodies do play tricks on us. Our minds play tricks on us. And sometimes it's just the emotional feelings that mm-hmm. like your body is carrying, and your body feels that. Like I know a lot of women like hold emotion in their hips. Mm. And so I was kind of curious to know, like, as a coach and working with these women, mm-hmm. how do you help them push their limits, but also stay true to like what their mind is telling them? Because sometimes it's like if you are not well, you shouldn't be pushing your body.
Yeah. And there's a fine line, right?
Right.
And I learned that through my ACL recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Because you also just have to, I think the main thing of importance is mind muscle connection. Mm-hmm. Because I could tell my clients or the girls to do a reverse lunge or to do a squat or whatever, just like going through it. And it could be completely wrong form. You're feeling in your knees, your ankles, your hips or whatever, mm-hmm. because you're not focusing on the correct muscles, which it, like for a lot of things, our glute is the biggest muscle in our body. It's the biggest part of our core. Your core is not just your stomach, it's your obliques, your back, your glute. So to engage that muscle, just to like think about it, literally it starts to turn it on. Like if you're thinking about like, it really, really does help because you're now taking the mental focus off of the area that's hurting or injured or whatever it is and putting into that bigger muscle so that you can take some pain and some pressure off of that. It's like in a car, when you are driving your car, what goes out first is the front brakes. And for us females, we are very quad dominant. So when these puppies go out, if you're running, if you're doing any type of exercise, when these get fatigued, our quads, the front part of our legs, then we take a lot of pressure to the knees, the ankles, the feet, all this stuff. And then we're like, oh, complaining, blah, blah, blah. Well, like I didn't do before my ACL tear, I didn't strengthen my posterior chain enough. I didn't have my strong hamstrings. I didn't have strong glutes. So when this fell apart, my knee took the brunt instead of my hammies and my glutes taking over. So it's like, I try to tell women, we're so front side dominant, like let's work on the backside, baby. Don't be afraid to throw it back. You know what I mean? Like, it's just fighting through some things that are uncomfortable sometimes mm-hmm. so that you can become more comfortable in the future, because my glutes, my butt was turned off for 3 months straight, baby. It did not fire up after my ACL tear. I was sitting on my ass or just like, whatever. Mm-hmm. But when I was going through my rehab process, my trainer, Chad, was like, mind muscle connection. You got to think about your glutes, shifting your hips back. So then after time, and then I have to start like just doing like little things, like literally just sitting here and just squeezing my butt or like squeezing my quad to turn that on. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like little tiny activations that allowed me to turn that muscle on again. So I know it's possible for these girls. And a lot of times, too, if you're just sedentary in your job and your daily life, your muscles are not activated. So you just have to relearn how to activate those muscle groups and fight through some things that are uncomfortable that so you can get better. Like, okay, when I first came from my ACL tear, I was like, there's just no way I can lift this weight. Like I did a hex bar deadlift for like the first time. My trainer had put like 45s on each side. So it was like, what's 45 plus 45 plus 45? I don't even know. Like 135, whatever it is. And I never had done that weight before in my life. And I was like, I can't do that. I literally just tore my ACL. Like, what do you think I do? And my trainer was like, you can do it. It's like, no, I can't. He's like, yeah, you can. So I like thought it because I never thought I could do it.
Right.
And then I did that. You know, so now I take that because I'm like, oh, I know this client can do that, even though they don't think they can. I know your body is so much more capable than you think it is. So when you think you're going to give up, or when your body can't do anymore, it's only at 40% capacity of what it can actually do. So you can go further. I always try to remind myself that and my clients, because like, we can do so much more. It's so much more mental than it is physical.
So how do you help your clients actually address that mental fear, so that they're able to accomplish it physically?
I'm like, okay, are you feeling a sharp pain? Okay, yes. All right, let's see what we can do to go around that. Let's try a couple more reps. Mind-muscle connection to, if we're doing a lunge, feeling it in your knees. All right, shift your hips back. Think about using your glutes to drive through your heels.
Mm-hmm.
Are we feeling any pain now? No. Okay. Is it a dull pain, ongoing pain? Or is it just something where it's like a little bit of an uncomfortability? I try to assess like those three different categories and then go from there and shift the form. If whenever we're adjusting the form and they're still feeling pain, then there's different things that we can do. We can switch up the way that we're working out. We can switch up the exercise that we're doing, and it still might work the same muscle group, but have less impact, you know? So like,
yeah,
there's just different ways to assess. And I think a lot of people aren't used to being uncomfortable, especially training general population people, which is so different than athletes, by the way. Because when I first started training, I was like, why can't you do a lunge? I was so confused. But it's actually a very complex movement. When you break it down, it's like so complex. But since we were athletes, we've done it our whole life, it's like easy. It's like second nature.
Right.
So that's also been a humbling thing, is for me to experience and to teach from like the ground up.
Mm.
It's very interesting.
And you also built a community from the ground up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as someone that has been in team environments, community, and like you said, you know these movements, these physical movements since a young age, what has been like the most transformative experience for you as a coach and teacher when you're working with these people that have never been these types of environments before?
My most transformative thing has been seeing girls connect and become like, we just had our year anniversary last week of Girly Pops Fitness.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It like flew by, and it's the most fulfilling thing. Every single Saturday, every single Thursday, when these girls do stuff together and give each other a high five, they've never high fived somebody in a workout before. And then I have some girls that have been friends from the first or second workout of Girly Pops. And like, we have this like little core group, like these five girls that have shown up to every single workout. They maybe have missed one or two. And it's like, wow, like, it's so cool to see that I've built this connection, like through just a Girly Pop, like through this workout. I just never thought that before.
And like, when you were coming out of college, like, how did you know, like, you knew you weren't going to be a professional athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did you know that this is what you wanted to do?
I didn't.
Fair enough.
I got the opportunity to move out to LA, like Beverly Hills area.
Mm-hmm.
After I graduated, I met this girl at Bible study, and I was like, I'm going to move there. I don't have a job, nothing. I'm just excited to be done with basketball. I was so burnt out. College sports is different. You know, it's like, it's cool, but it's not at the same time.
What a line.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm glad. Like, I'm thankful for all the experiences, all the things that I learned. But, like, it's a grind, baby. It's a grind. So I was just glad to be done. And I just wanted to move out to LA. Had my NASM certification. I've been studying the body. I knew I wanted to be, like, a trainer. I wanted to be in the gym. So when I moved out here, there's an Equinox right across the street. So I was like, let me just apply there, like, whatever. I don't have a job. Like, so I applied there. I started training people. Literally most fulfilling thing. It's just cool to see other people challenge themselves, overcome things, and accomplish goals.
Yeah.
Just like, so sick. So I honestly had no purpose out here. And then same thing with the Girly Pops. Like, I just started it because a couple of my girlfriends wanted to work out outside of the gym. And then my best friend from Arizona, she came out here. She's like, Tay, this is cool, but it could be way cooler. Like, start doing events, start doing all this stuff. So she really pushed me. She's been like my ride or die for this whole situation. So we always go back and forth through events. She's been at every event. Shout out to Megan Henthorn, literally.
Aww.
Like, you go through life, you know, and you have ebbs and flows of friends, of people, and come and go. She has been a rock since literally day one. And it's so amazing to me because I feel bad. I like forget her birthday. Like, I forget people's birthdays. I'm like, suck as a friend. I never text. But she doesn't care. She's still the best. And she shows up. She helps me at every single event. She pays her way out here, supports, is just the greatest friend, really just digs it all out for me and this Girly Pops fitness community. So that's been dope. So that's when I started having more purpose, is I think the events and being like, okay, this is going to be, I never thought I'd be a girl's girl, but this is going to be my niche. Like the woman only workout community, like we're growing this baby. This is the only one in Los Angeles, only woman only rooftop workout event. Me and you are co-hosting this next one, August 17th. Like only one in LA. So like, let's make this thing freaking big because there's nothing else like it.
So what do you find the most powerful about like friends that kind of support this vision that you said kind of happened by accident?
Yeah. It literally means the world. Like, I don't even know. It just shows that there's true friends. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of people, I think, especially out here in Los Angeles, that it's like a big networking thing. So like, you use this person to like ladder, step, like whatever. And so I found a lot of those people. You got to like weave them out.
Yeah.
And then when you have those real people in your life that like are going to be through the thick and thin with you, it means so much just as a woman, because there's a lot of women. And I think that's a big emphasis for my community, is we try to break each other down. And why is there not a lot of women at the top in leadership positions? It's because when you get to a leadership position, your best friend Susie over here is talking shit about you. Like, dang, she's not even good. Like, blah, blah. Cool. Like, we can be competitive, but you can also support that girl on the way up. You can also be her, like, ride or die. But then, like, do yourself over here. She's going to support you. Boom. We just keep growing. Like, men don't do that. Like, they compete, but then they take that off the field or off the business, out of the business room, and they support each other. And they're like, we need less of that. And I've been through that. Like, I used to just hate girls on my basketball team if they were better than me. Like, why? Like, love them. You guys are on a team. You should work together to level up.
Right.
So at Girly Pops Fitness, like, I don't care who you are, what you do, like, yeah, there's competition, but there's good competition because we're going to grow from this and challenge one another. And then there's room at the top for every one of us, you know? So, and I think that's like a huge, huge thing. I was talking to one of my clients, and it's like some of the business owners that I look up to, some female entrepreneurs, she had gone on a trip with them, and like there was a lot of basically looking down upon other people or like making fun of, and she witnesses firsthand, and she's like, it made me feel so drained, and like she had nothing to contribute to the conversation, and so she had to leave the entire situation. And I was like, dang, that's so sad to hear, because these are people that I really look up to. Like, dang, she's a badass, she's like a female boss, and I really look up to her. But to know that she's like acting this way and just basically putting other women down, like, for what? I just don't understand. So I really want, just like you're doing with this podcast, I mean, to just bring out the shine and the sparkle in other females. I mean, I think it's amazing what you're doing.
Thank you.
That's why I'm just so excited to have you part of this event, because that's both of our missions, you know, through the separate things that we do. But we can come together at the end of the day and be like, listen to Sparkle On, because check out these other girls that are doing their thing, and then go support them.
Yeah.
Like, same thing with Girly Pops, when we have these other brands and vendors, like, whatever you're doing with us now, like, you're going to continue to grow and to flourish, because we're not stopping to use you to level up to somebody else. You're going to come with us the entire time.
And I think, like, one of the things that was interesting that you touched upon is not only the competitive nature between women, but even in this town, like, a lack of authenticity. And
for
I think, yes, it might be concentrated in this town for a multitude of reasons, but it's everywhere. And so I'm kind of curious to know, as a coach and as you interact with, you know, many different people, and like, you know, working out is a very vulnerable journey, right? Especially if you have certain fitness goals and you don't come from athletic background, like, it is very vulnerable to put your trust in a coach and surround yourself with anyone, not just women, like anyone. And so I want to know what authenticity means to you, and how you've noticed it either spread in your community.
Yeah, I think authenticity is just taking your values and yourself and accepting yourself and your values for what they are, and really just carrying that and being truthful and not letting the surroundings that you have or the people that you're surrounded by affect those things. So I'm thankful to have gone through situations when I was younger where I was really influenced by other groups and I tried to act like somebody that I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But then coming out of that situation, I learned I didn't like myself. I didn't like that version of myself.
Mm-hmm.
So this is who I am and this is who I'm going to be. And I'm going to continually put my foot down. And when I've done that, I've noticed like other people then gravitate towards me. So then I like that. I'm just going to continue to be myself. I'm going to continue to bring my energy, be whatever, and not care what other people think about me, because this, as soon as I start caring, then that's when things start to crumble, because then other people start to take advantage. And I think that in any environment that you're in, you just have to be so, so confident in that version of yourself, because people will love you for that.
Yeah.
And everyone is like weird, whatever, in their own way. And we're all unique for a reason. So like, let's bring our uniqueness and step your foot in the ground with that unique, like, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, like, don't, why would you try to be like anybody else? There's no one like you. Like, you're your only version of yourself.
And that's what it means to sparkle on. But no, I'm actually like, so like I said in the beginning of this episode, I'm so excited because I think I just came across your event like because of Noia House.
Mm-hmm.
But what is your biggest goal right now for the next couple of years of Girly Pop Fitness?
So next year, during the same time, July 2023, I want to have a New York City event.
Ooh.
And I want to be at Noia House in New York City.
Oh, have you been there yet?
No.
Oh my God. I love it.
You've
it's
been?
So cozy.
Okay.
I've been there like in the warm weather months, but like there's something about that location in the wintertime with the fireplaces and stuff. We literally sound like a Noia House ad. Like they need to sponsor this podcast. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, no, literally.
Because they don't sponsor us. And we don't work for them. We just really like it. We're dedicated members, guys.
We're dedicated. We're dedicated to bringing members in, like, create something new for Noia House. They don't have women-only workout events.
Well, now they do, because
now they do.
Literally, before you became a member, because you just became a member.
Yeah, just became a member.
But before, like, you weren't even a member, and they still did it. And it's been, like, a hit.
Like, yeah, like I'm just so excited to bring some fitness into the house.
But low key, like there has been some guys that have been like, oh, so we can't convention.
Yeah, sorry. Maybe I should do a bro pops too. Which is funny because I train one on one more guys than I do girls.
Oh, interesting.
But the community that I like am niche towards, and that's like gonna be my brand.
Yeah.
Is the girls. So okay, so to answer your question, in a year, yes. I wanna be in New York City. We're taking this thing nationwide. So I'm going to have to hire several Tays. Davey might be one of them. Because I can't
I got to get my certification.
I can't be in the same place all at once. So, like, my goal is to have big events all over and to be hired, like, oh, Tay's in town? I want to train with Tay. So we have these big events all across the United States, because not only does LA need a woman-only workout event, but so does Nashville, so does Phoenix, so does wherever, like, we need to bring women together in this fitness environment to go through some shared suffering to then expand on those relationships in business and in life. So I want to have those events. That's going to be my first goal of a nationwide event is New York City. And I also want girls who aren't able to make it in person to these events. Maybe they're not local to LA. I want them to be able to stream these things. So I want to create a way for girls to be on like a Girly Pops program, which will be dropping at our event, by the way. Okay, the first Girly Pops program, super exciting.
Yay.
And just to continue to brand training with Tay across the nation, across the world. Like just
that.
A community of strong, independent, fit women.
I love that. Yeah. And you will get to do that on August 17th.
Yes.
Yes. So August 17th, for those of you that are in the LA area, we are having Sparkle On with Tay's Girly Pops on the rooftop of Noia House. Again, this is not sponsored, but I don't know it is. But no, it's seriously, like, if you haven't been, like, I didn't know what Neuhaus was when I came to LA, and one of my friends took me to one of the sunset sessions on the roof, and I'm just like, it was one of those moments where I was like, wow, I have fallen in love with this place. Like, there's just something about the energy here where you can feel the creatives, you can feel the dreamers, and the people that like actually want to build community and change the world. Literally. And I felt that on the rooftop, because it's a bunch of people like playing music, pursuing their craft, and there's like no shame in it. And so like we get to do that on a Saturday morning. Tay's going to lead us through an amazing workout. I've done the workout. It kicks your butt. But then there's also
booty.
Oh, sorry, booty. Yes, it does. And somehow I'm gonna have to like run like 17 miles after it.
Yeah, you're crazy.
Yeah, that's gonna be rough Saturday, dude. That's gonna be rough.
No, you need to move your run to Friday.
Okay, but Tay, this is the problem. The sparkle, like the summer of sparkle party, is on Thursday night, and I anticipate drinking a lot of rosé on Thursday,
shoot.
And then to go and run like. I think
no,
my schedule
be perfect because you'll just run out the rosé.
I can't. Like, my hangovers
are so... Hey, what did we just talk about? Mind-muscle connection.
I thought, okay. I think hangovers are not. Yeah, sure. Okay, that's what I'm going to... Fine, I'll move it to Friday.
I'm just kidding.
We'll see. Well, we'll talk. I'll get your expert opinion on that after this episode.
Yeah. Okay.
But, yeah, no, what I actually love about what this event's going to be is it's also not just going to be a workout. There's going to be all these women entrepreneurs and vendors that it's kind of like this whole fair.
Yes. So my weekly workouts that I have on Thursday and Saturday, we bring all the girls together and then we have the vendors. So it's like any girls that have been a part of our community or just like local businesses, we have them on display on the rooftop.
Yeah.
So this is an opportunity for them to market to a lot of entrepreneurs and young females in the area, right on top of Neuhaus, to get some freaking awesome media as well, because we have media coverage. And then just for them to grow their brand, because like I was talking about earlier, as I grow, they grow. So we want everybody to level up together. We're going to bring on a couple of partners as well to just help them expand. And then we have Davey and I doing a live Q&A. So yes. That'll be dope to like bring the podcast to life. We'll have a live DJ. My girl Melina is sick. I love her. Just bringing the vibes. We have giveaways. We have goodie bags packed with like 15 different brands of.
I know. Last time I went, there were so many snacks. And
yeah, like, you guys get like, I feel like, what is that? $100 value within each goodie bag. Like,
yeah.
It's fire. Like, shout out to our partners that are donating in kind or that are going to be there in person. Like, you guys are all amazing. So, Slate is one of my new faves, by the way. Slate Milk. I'm big on protein.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be there. We're going to have some coolers with some drinks in there, but also in the goodie bags. Macros go crazy. Like, we're gonna have some of my favorite things there, so I'm just really excited about
that. We're gonna have recovery too, right?
We're gonna have recovery. We're gonna have mini facials.
Oh yeah,
maybe we got it all. Oh,
spa day.
Yeah. And then we're gonna have a live female rap performance.
I love that.
Like, what? And then we're gonna have a huge raffle giveaway. It's gonna be like the best day ever. It's like the best event ever.
No, it's gonna be an awesome Saturday. Mm-hmm. Like, it's definitely gonna be better than the last one, even though the last one was complete fire. Sparkle is gonna be there.
Yeah,
we're gonna be doing an Ignite Your Sparkle workshop.
Yes.
And it's a great way for, if you're in the LA community, to come just meet with other people that care about leveling up together.
Exactly.
And yeah, hopefully we'll do a lot more.
Of course, this is just the start, baby. This is just the start.
But also, it's like celebrating my birthday and my birthday month. So come hang out and party with me.
Yeah, I mean, if no other reason, we're gonna sparkle on with Davey.
Is there anything else that you want to share with us today?
I just want to say thank you so much for having me on this podcast. Yeah. I'm so glad that you came to my last event, that we met, and that we're getting to do these things together. Like, if you guys have not met Davey before, she's such a...
You're so nice to him.
No, like, literally, you're just such a light, and I love being around people like that. I decided that people that aren't gonna, like, help level me up, challenge me, or just bring good energy, like, I'm never around them ever again. You know what I'm saying? So like at least
harsh.
So to keep you around, that means like you're a good person. No, but also it's just, it's really awesome what you're doing, and you're doing such an amazing job being persistent. I just respect like your hustle, and I'm excited to see where this takes you and where this is going to go, because there's so many amazing things coming from. I mean, just look at this studio and like, it's dope. It's
thanks,
dope.
Dude.
Yeah.
All right. Well, everyone, if you have any questions, we're going to share the link. Tay's merch and everything is going to be in there. So sparkle on and really don't miss this event, and also ask for more so we can like go travel and like dance in Nashville.
Oh yeah. Duh.
Because I really want to go to the Dolly Parton bar and like maybe do a fitness workout there. That'd be kind of sick. It's all pink. It fits both of our brands, dude.
Oh my God. We can make this like a tour.
Let's do it.
Okay. Sweet.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Sparkle on.
Sparkle on, baby.